How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. Today we have The Whisperer, a series that debuted in 1951 on NBC, and it was based off of stories by Dr. Stetson Humphrey and his wife Irene. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know in the comments below, or through the many ways to reach out. All those links are in the description. And if you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now, with all that, please enjoy the show.
Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Galt, brilliant young attorney, he skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Galt uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. The only person besides Dr. Lee who knows the Whisperer's true identity is the doctor's nurse, Ellen Norris, who is listening now as the Whisperer completes his call to his superiors in the crime syndicate in New York City.
New York.
Central City reporting. Instructions conveyed to Scarelli will keep you informed.
Oh, Phil. Did you have to give those instructions?
Yes, Ellen. As soon as I receive them from my superiors in the syndicate, I must pass them on.
But marijuana means broken lives, heartbreak for parents, too.
I know that, Ellen, but if I refuse, the syndicate will liquidate me before the day is over.
How will Scarelli start this? this tragedy?
Well, he'll find a high school boy or girl who is a leader and induce them to start selling marijuana. Well,
couldn't we warn the PTA?
No. We must let Scarelli make his contact, then catch him and his men with enough evidence to send him to prison.
Meanwhile, some boy or girl becomes an addict.
They won't work that way. They'll set up a party, spike the drinks, and when everyone is happy, they'll pass out one or two or as many cigarettes as it takes to get them high.
How terrible.
But until that party, we needn't worry about whoever Scarelli contacts.
Well, that makes me feel somewhat better.
Say, how about leaving the office and having a soda, huh?
Can't. However, if you should just happen, mind you, to come back around 4.
I'll be here with bells out.
That won't be necessary. As you see, we furnish our own bells.
Meanwhile, Scarelli, smartly dressed and spending freely, mixes and mingles with the high school crowd, watching, listening for something which will point out a likely student to become his head marijuana pusher. Then...
They told me you're pretty good on that motorcycle, Scrappy.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I guess I am at that.
My name is Scarelli.
I'm Scrappy Ritz.
I got a pretty hot car myself.
Hey, it's you.
Hiya, Scrappy.
Hiya, Nola. Conserving sweaters and what a goo.
You conserve, I'm starved. Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Feed that Pete Andrade record a nickel, will you?
Sure.
He really sends me.
Come down.
I send.
Hey, my bike's outside. How about a spin, huh?
Sorry, Jimmy Bivens is picking me up.
That moldy fig. And how about tonight?
Jimmy Bivens.
I kind of counted on it.
You overlooked one thing.
That convertible?
George.
I didn't overlook it. I ignored it.
Your mistake. Never overlook a convertible. Bye. Thanks for the goo.
What's the rush?
Well, there's Jimmy pulling up outside. Don't take any wooden kefavers. Okay, Jimmy.
That's really burning it, huh?
Huh? Oh, you again. Yeah. Jimmy got a Merc 300 with trimmings.
Yeah? How much that job cost?
$1,500.
I know where a hard worker could make that kind of money.
It don't grow on bushes, friend.
The name's Scarelli. How about dropping in tonight and we'll talk it over, huh?
Where?
Main Hotel, room 1201. 8 o'clock?
I'll be there.
Would you mind telling me why you brought me all the way across town to the hangout for that soda?
I love your company.
That I sometimes doubt. No, you had some other reason.
Well, Alan, if I were Scarelli, I'd hang around, ask questions, spot a likely pusher, and then make contact.
And you're going to see if Scarelli has been here?
You're a woman of unusual perception. Park it here, as we used to say in my high school days.
Well, 23 skidoo to you, too.
Name it, Mopes.
Mopes?
Okay, squares.
Well, that I get.
Well, don't lug it. What goes?
Goes.
What do you want?
Oh.
I've had conversations like this in nightmares.
Look, could we just talk to you?
Jive, dig.
Huh?
Would you humor an old man and just use plain English?
You do, speak it.
When I have to.
Splendid. We found a ground for mutual understanding. Has an older man probably well-dressed?
A gook.
I'll start over. Has a gook been asking...
Waxing.
Okay. Has a gook been waxing a... Don't tell me. Mope?
George.
Who?
Scrappy Riz. The gook's waxing him about a hot rod.
Oh, now I see.
Wanna bet?
Don't expose me. Where does Scrappy live?
834 Canal Street.
Octagon.
Huh?
I said octagon. That means thanks from two squares. Yes?
We'd like to talk to Scrappy, please.
Oh, dear, he isn't in trouble again.
Oh, no, Mrs. Riss. I'm a lawyer, and I wanted to talk with him about working for me in my office.
Oh, well, come in, Mr.
Galt. And this is Miss Norris.
Oh, how do you do? I've wanted Scrappy to go to work. It isn't that he's a bad boy. It's just that he wants so many things and sometimes takes shortcuts to get them. Oh, Scrappy?
I heard what he said, Ma.
Son, I want you to meet...
How much would the job pay?
Well, I could start you at 20 a week.
Chicken feed. I know where I can get...
More? Is that what you were going to say?
Let it go.
Scrappy, easy money usually means risks. The risk of getting caught.
Oh, son, what are you talking
I don't know
about?
What he's talking about.
And I hope you never will, Scrappy, but I'm a lawyer. And if you ever need help, consider yourself my client. Good evening, Mrs. Riss. Scrappy.
Bye-bye. Wouldn't you have warned Scrappy?
No, I think he's basically a good kid, but a poor actor. If I warned him, his behavior might put Scarelli on his guard.
Can't we follow Scrappy? Let him lead us to Scarelli?
Look there.
What, do you mean the motorcycle?
How long do you think we could keep up with that? No, Ellen, when the time comes, we'll find another way of contacting Scarelli. Now, come on. I have to make a call to the syndicate.
New York.
Central City reporting.
Go ahead, Central City.
Scarelli has found a good high school contact. He's in love, and his rival owns a hot rod.
Keep us informed.
Phil, every time you use that voice, it gives me goosebumps.
That whisper was the only sound I could make when I first met you.
I know, but I'll never get used to it. Oh, by the way, somehow we've been sidetracked on that soda. Could we...
Later. Right now, we have a date to park in front of Scrappy Riss's house until he returns from his meeting with Scarelli.
But that may be ours.
Well, parking can be fun if it's properly approached.
Oh, no, Mope. I may lag in modern idioms, but some things haven't changed since I left high school.
Where you been, Scarelli?
Setting up a pigeon. He's ripe. He's a tough kid in love, and he wants a hot rod.
Well, sounds like he's already hooked.
Yeah, I'm counting on that. But kids are funny, so...
So, I stand by downstairs just in case, huh?
Yeah, just in case. That's probably him out the back way in a hurry.
Gotcha.
Be right with you. Well, come in, Scrappy. You're right on time.
Hey. Joint's a real McCoy.
$30 a day, Scrappy. Always travel first class. It's the only way to live.
If you have the money.
The right guy always has the money.
And you think that's me, huh?
I do. I've been watching you, Scrappy. You're smart, you're tough, and you're a leader. Here, have a cigarette.
Thanks. Hey, what kind of cigarette is this?
Marijuana.
What's the idea? You're trying to make an addict of me?
At one time, Scrappy, they arrested you for drinking whiskey. But now we're more enlightened and whiskey is offered for legal sale. Well, in 10 years, the same will be true of marijuana.
I think I'll go now, Mr. Scarelli.
Scrappy, I like you. How would you like to make $200 a week?
$200 a week?
At least.
My old man never made that much.
But you can. We organize 10 groups of 20 friends. Each stick costs 50 cents. At first, your customers will average 3 a week. That's $600 a week.
Yeah, and 10% of 600 is still 60.
Only at first. Once they get the habit,
well,
why...
You can stop right there.
That's merely a figure of speech. Later, they'll enjoy maybe 3 a day, and that's $2,100 a week or $210 for you.
Oh, no. For this, I'll not go to jail.
Just a minute.
You intend to try to stop me?
No, of course not, son. Of course not. Come on, I'll give you time to think it over. Now, just to show you there's no hard feelings, Scrappy, I'll give you a drive in my car. Here it is. Did he like it?
Who wouldn't?
Cost $20,000. British job, 362. Slip under the wheel, twirl it around the block.
Hey, you really mean it?
Of course I do. Get in and I'll brief you and then you can burn the rubber.
Hey, this baby really turns over.
Yeah. Do a power turn around that corner by my hotel.
Okay. Here goes.
Good boy. You can really drive. And look out! Look out!
Billy.
Yes, son. He's dead.
Oh, what am I going to do?
Well, if we report this, you got 20 years.
But it was an accident.
That's why I'm going to help you. Now help me put his body in the trunk, and I'll get rid of it where they'll never find it.
That might get you in trouble.
I'll take that risk. Provided you'll be my head pusher.
You mean marijuana? But I already told you.
Either that or 20 years, which will it be? Hurry.
All right. I'll sell you marijuana.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Gault, the man who walks on the thin edge of death as he lives a double identity. Philip Gault, known to the underworld as The Whisperer, has ordered the introduction of marijuana into the high school. Now, in his real identity as Philip Gault, he and Ellen are parked outside Scrappy's house when an imported car drives up.
It's Scrappy, all right.
I've never seen that car before.
It's bound to be Scarelli.
No doubt about it.
Hadn't we better follow him?
I think it's more important to talk to Scrappy. Scrappy!
Huh? What? Who's there?
It's Mr. Gault.
I want to talk to you.
Are you in trouble?
No. No. Why should I be?
Well, just remember what I said earlier today about being your friend. Let me know if you get in over your head.
Get in? That's a laugh. I'm already in 10 times deeper than that.
Something dreadful has happened tonight. You should have stopped it.
That was my first mistake, Ellen. My second was in not following Scarelli. Now we've got to find him if it takes all night. Checked every motel, garage, and hotel in town. That foreign car has disappeared.
Could we stop for a goo before you drop me off at my place?
Of course. Come on, Mope.
That all-night diner looks wonderful to me.
In you go. Two hamburgers with everything.
Did we overlook any place where Scarelli might...
Ellen, no names.
I'm sorry.
My good, I need more room to pass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you very much.
Phil, I've seen him.
Oh.
That man going to
the corner. Hello? Scrappy, awake at 3:15? A man named Gault is searching for my car. It's hidden at the casino, but if he finds it, those fingerprints will hang in.
But Mrs. Scarelli...
You must get rid of Gault.
No.
I'll be at your house by 3:25. Be ready.
But I...
They can't hang you any higher for 2 murders than for 1.
Goo was delicious.
Well, in that case, do you mind if I stop and pick up something at my place?
No. I'm used to joyriding at 3:30 in the morning.
I'll only be a moment.
Phil!
Keep down.
Shoot again. No, leave me alone.
Getting away.
Scarelli is, yes, but Scrappy shot at me.
Mr. Gault!
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Come on inside, kid. We've a lot to talk over. Staying at the main hotel.
Phil, what are you going to do?
Scrappy, we have a job to do. Can you regain his confidence?
I'll try.
His next move will be to set up a party where he'll pass out marijuana. Can you learn the time and place and phone me?
Yes, sir, but what happens when this is over?
Then, Scrappy, it looks as though you'll have to stand trial for manslaughter. Now, I think you'd better go home.
After Scrappy leaves, Philip Gault dials the main hotel. As the receiver at the other end is lifted, he speaks in the voice of the Whisperer.
Mr. Scarelli, please. When? Just now. Thank you.
He's checked out?
10 minutes ago. That means he knows we've talked to Scrappy.
Who are you calling?
Scrappy's mother. He must stay at home until I can get there. His life depends on it.
Welcome home, Scrappy.
Huh?
You bungled it.
Yeah, I know it.
Did Gault see you tonight?
Oh, no.
All right. Tomorrow night we're giving a party at the casino for 20 of your friends.
I'll tell them tomorrow.
You'll call them with my gun in your ribs.
Huh?
When you finish, you'll be locked in the refrigerator vault.
Why are you doing this?
I saw you come out of Galt's place. Scrappy, your number is really up.
Did you find him?
Oh, I've looked all day without a trace. But I did learn that Scarelli's giving a party tonight for teenagers at the casino.
The casino?
My guess is that Scrappy's a prisoner there.
What time is the party?
It's already underway. I'm going out now and try to rescue Scrappy. Ellen, phone Lieutenant Denvers. Tell him to surround the casino. When I fire two shots, have his men crash in. Now, you got that?
Two shots. Right.
Good girl. It must be timed right. Too soon, no evidence. Too late, a lot of fine kids will be headed for a place I'd rather they didn't go.
Well, good evening, Mr. Galt. I've been waiting for more than an hour.
Sorry if I kept you waiting, Scarelli.
I'll take your gun. Thank you. Come on. As you can hear, my party is in progress.
So it would seem.
In here.
Very substantial.
It's the meat storage vault. However, the walls are thin enough that you can hear the happenings. And later... Well, we'll discuss that later. Now, if you'll excuse me, my guests are waiting.
Mr. Galt?
You all right, Scrappy?
I'm half frozen. I was afraid you wouldn't get here in time.
Has he passed out any marijuana?
No, but he's getting ready to. Hey, listen.
Are you kids having fun? All right, then, I've got something you're going to really go for. Everybody step up and get a free cigarette.
Oh, no, we got to do something. Those kids don't know what's about to happen.
The police may be here by now.
Police? You got a signal?
Two gunshots.
Well, you're going to get a gun.
Move this empty cardboard carton over there while I break this window with this chicken.
Chicken?
It's frozen, hard as a hammer.
Here's the carton. What now?
Your belt.
All right. But why?
I'll double it. Now stand back. I've heard they do this on the radio. I hope it wasn't just publicity. It worked!
Where are you?
Over here in the refrigerator.
Refrigerator?
Open the door. Scarelli must have got away.
The evidence.
You over there, move.
Scarelli.
What?
Drop that gun.
Go.
Drop it, Scarelli. All right, everybody, it's all over. The police will be here.
And take over.
Condemned.
Well, this is a haul. Outside, we grab the drivers and the marijuana, and inside, we find Philip Galt, boy murderer.
That man has narcotics on his body, and he shot first, Lieutenant.
You wish?
I have 30 witnesses to prove it.
We'll pass that for now. How'd you know about this unless you're implicated in the marijuana business?
My client, Scrappy Wrist, told me.
Oh, is that right, Scrappy?
Yes, sir.
Then you must be implicated in this, too.
No, sir, I...
My client is innocent of any wrong intent. He was coerced.
No use, Mr. Gore. I can't take it any longer. I killed a man.
Oh. In that case, Scrappy, you're under arrest.
Lieutenant, before you do a foolish thing, can we see the prisoners?
Well, it won't help Scrappy, but... Morrison, bring in the prisoners.
Do any of them look familiar, Scrappy?
What? Hey, it can't be. It's the man I ran over.
There's the man you thought you ran over. He and Scarelli pulled the old insurance gag. This man screamed, acted as though the car hit him and fell.
Yeah, but I helped put him in the trunk.
And we're too excited to notice that he wasn't even injured.
All right. You, what's your name?
Ed.
Is this true? Talk up.
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say.
You said enough. Well, Galt, looks like you're clean. What are you going to do with these kids?
I'd suggest that you take them to the station, Lieutenant. Call their parents and show them how narrowly Central City averted a tragedy. You might also suggest that the PTA show some of the fine educational films available on marijuana and how it leads to a worse addiction. Tonight's event should prove that... that it can happen here. Only an alerted and enlightened public can prevent its further spread.
Phil, now that it's over, can I please have that soda?
Just as soon as I contact the syndicate. Just take a minute. I've already given the operator... Shh.
Yes?
Central City reporting.
Go ahead, Central City.
Scarelli bungled. The entire gang captured. The public is vigorously aroused. I advise that present plans be discontinued.
We will take such action. For new instructions, call Chicago at midnight.
Chicago at midnight. Now, Whisperer.
The Whisperer is based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as The Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Julius Kralbein, Jerry Farber, Alice Backus, Eddie Firestone, Paul Fries, and Ruth Parrott. Script was by Ann Gill, original music by Johnny Duffy, and the entire production was directed by Bill Karn. Next week, listen to another exciting adventure with
The Whisperer.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The Whisperer. The Whisperer. The Whisperer. The Whisperer.
Hello?
Nathan.
Yeah.
Thomas Farrell, reporter at Central City Bulletin, will be at the gambling room of Club 17 tonight.
Club 17. Thomas Farrell. Check. What are my instructions?
You will shoot to kill.
Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Galt, brilliant young attorney, he skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City.
Then, as Philip Galt uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. The only person besides Dr. Lee who knows the true identity of the Whisperer is the doctor's nurse, Ellen Norris. Now in the oak-paneled office of Philip Galt, counselor at law, she watches him at the telephone, speaking in the voice of the Whisperer as he talks with his superiors of the syndicate in New York.
Is that all?
All of what, Ellen?
That voice for tonight. You know what it sounds like?
Poor guy with an affliction who walked into your office and asked for help.
And God help. And it's not exactly my office. Dr. Lee likes to think it's his. I just worked there. But he didn't restore your voice so he could go on talking in that horrible whisper.
Oh, Ellen, we're not going into that again.
We are, if you've got more of this syndicate business to take care of tonight.
Sweetheart, tonight?
Yes?
I've got a chore for you.
Oh, goody.
No, I'm serious.
Far away.
It requires a delicate touch.
Mine's like a bird.
A buzzard?
Phil Galt.
Okay, listen. There's a newspaper reporter, Fell, Tommy Fell, a sharp boy, and he's been taking a dim view of the syndicate's activities in this town and broadcasting his opinion in his newspaper.
Good for him.
Yes, except that now he's in real trouble.
The syndicate's after him, and you've got to save him. Now that you've put the finger on him.
We've got to save him.
Where do I fit in?
Well, I know that Mason is supposed to shoot Farrell at the Club 17. That would mean that Farrell's going to be there.
Club 17, the gambling club.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, being only one thread of the syndicate, I don't know what the other threads are or how they're working. For instance, I don't know what time the shooting's going to take place, how the syndicate knows Farrell's going to be there, or what this Mason, whom I spoke to, looks like.
Well, a lot of things you don't know.
That's where you come in, Ellen. Across the street from the Bulletin is a cafe called Bluebell. The newspaper boys congregate there for their beer and Skittles.
What is Skittles?
And the slightest idea. Anyway, the delicate touch I've been talking about is whether you can take care of Tommy Fell.
Oh, butter.
Make like a siren. Try to keep him from going to the Club 17 tonight.
Well, it might be interesting. Young?
I don't know.
Does he have a sense of humor?
Definitely. Some very clever cracks about the syndicate in his newspaper articles.
Well, what are you going to do in the meantime?
Snoop around, try to find out who Mason is, and get in his hair in case you don't succeed in charming Farrell away.
Oh, sounds like a challenge, and I accept no holds barred.
Now, wait a minute. You... Hello?
Galt?
Why, yes, Lieutenant Denver.
There's a guy down here I'd like you to see. It's all about the name of Yuvin.
Don't know any Yuvin, Lieutenant. Especially any Yuvin in trouble with homicide.
Not homicide, it's vice. Yuvin owns and operates the Club 17.
Club 17? Well, that's very interesting, Lieutenant.
I just happen to be around, and Yuvin doesn't have an attorney. Of course, if you're not interested.
Business, Lieutenant? Of course I'm interested. What's the charge against Yuvin?
Running and operating a gambling casino. What else?
I'll be right down. Well, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Well, why did the police pick this particular time to book the owner of the Club 17? That's where the shooting's supposed to take place. Something's cooking, Ellen.
Well, before it gets to a boil, I'm off to intercept reporter Tommy Farrell. He sounds very romantic.
Now, just stick to the necessities, Ellen. Don't take this job too much to heart.
I don't have an attorney and I don't want one.
A man in your position without legal representation?
I fired him. I got tired of taking these routes from the police.
I've already set the machinery in motion to get you out.
Says who? What right?
You don't want out.
You catch on quickly. Now you can stop that machinery you were talking about.
I think I catch on to something else, too.
Huh?
You arranged to have yourself picked up.
What?
You want to be in jail tonight, so you won't possibly be connected with something that's going to happen in your club tonight.
You're a smart lad.
Not so smart. Even the cops could figure that out. Here you are in jail and you don't want to get out. What other reason could there be? Couldn't be an alibi, could it?
You're a pretty clever cipher, Galt. But I play this my way. I'm staying put.
Okay, Yuvin. But you might find out that your way will be mighty painful.
A minute?
As soon as I make a quick phone call, Lieutenant.
I suppose as usual, you want privacy.
Use that phone booth over there.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Operator, New York City, circle 1879.
Circle 1879.
Diamond phone booth.
I'm developing telephonia, Lieutenant. Now, tell me why you called me for this little job.
Oh, I like the way you operate, Dog.
Uh-huh. And I like you, too, Lieutenant. How come you've forsaken homicide for the vice squad?
Extracurricular work. Boys in the detail are a little rushed.
Yeah. Why'd you want Euban released?
Oh, did I want him released?
A raid tonight? You want to catch him there, is that it?
A raid? Now, how could you think a thing like that?
Okay, Lieutenant. All I want to know is why you picked Club 17 tonight. Who made the complaint?
Well, you got the best of me, Golf.
And why are you so interested in vice and gangster detail stuff?
You tell me why.
Because you smell homicide, Lieutenant. And you smell homicide whenever the syndicate is involved.
Oh?
Is Euban part of the syndicate?
I wish I knew.
But you suspect he is. And that's why you called me? Because lately you've been spotting me at some of the syndicate's finaglings?
Probably just a coincidence, Golf.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe I'll see you later on tonight at Club 17.
Oh, why don't you stay a while and chat?
I'd love to, Lieutenant, but right now I'm on my way to see a lady about a reporter.
In the meantime, Ellen Norris enters the smoke-filled Bluebell Cafe to fulfill the mission assigned her by Philip Galt, alias The Whisperer. A mission designed to keep Thomas Farrell from going to the Club 17, where a killer waits for him.
What'll it be, lady?
Stop here, please. A tall one. Oh, and some Skittles, please.
Huh? Skittles?
Please. I've always wanted to find out what they were.
I don't know. Hey, mister, you know what's a Skittle?
Skittles?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I've used the phrase myself, beer and Skittles. Maybe it's some kind of beef jerky.
Tall beer. Very tall.
Well, thank you. Keep the change.
Well, what do you know?
Shouldn't have done that.
What? They shouldn't have done what?
Give him that dime. It'll spoil him. You leave it on the counter and keep looking at it soulfully while he serves the rest of his poor newspaper men.
Oh, newspaper men? Oh, do you know T-Town?
Well, I grew up with him.
Really? Well, I've been reading his articles in the bulletin. I think he's wonderful.
So do I. Well, let's not get maudlin about this. I'm T. Farrell.
Oh.
Let's sit down and get away from this hoi-polloi, huh?
Hoi-polloi?
Yeah, it's kind of people you shouldn't associate with. In this case, other reporters or the men. Oh, here. This is fine. Hey, tell me, what are you doing in this bar?
Having a beer. You're not old.
Oh, not yet.
And you're rather distinguished looking. Those gray hairs around your temple. They're very attractive.
Those are typewriter hairs. I get them with my fingers poised over a typewriter trying to dream up the perfect word. Yeah, sometimes I sit like that for hours. You have to shake me to get me awake.
But now you're all through for the day.
Until later.
Oh?
Duty.
Oh?
If the law wasn't going to be mixed up in it, I'd ask you to come along.
Oh, I wasn't thinking anything like that. I thought maybe you'd like to come on a party I'm going to.
Yeah, you see, that's what happens to me every time. Duty, duty. Where is this party? I'll make it later.
Oh, no, it's all right. Some other time.
No, wait. I got an idea. One of the boys will take him. I'll join him later. I got to be somewhere about 11, but it shouldn't take more than 3/4 of an hour.
No, some other time. It's all right.
Oh, you're disappointed.
No.
Look, sweetheart, I haven't had a stroke of luck like this since a little Belgian gal I met in the Battle of the Bulge.
Well, if any old appointment makes that much difference, it's quite all right, Mr. Bell.
Well, how about having another beer and waiting for me right here, huh?
Anybody here know what Skittles are?
Uh-oh. What is this, sweetie?
I don't know.
Quite a line to come in, huh? Skittles.
Oh, hello there. I'm connected with the Encyclopedia Britannica, and we're tracing the derivation.
What's your angle, Sonny? You know this young lady?
I just want to know what Skittles are.
Looks like too much of a coincidence. Don't crowd, Sonny. I don't like the question. I don't like the setup here, and I don't like you.
Hey, wait. Out of my way. Wait a minute.
Oh, he's going away. He's going to Club 17.
Yes, Ellen. And now that he's suspicious, we won't be able to stop him.
So?
So we go out to Club 17, and unless we do better there than we did here, Farrell is going to get murdered.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, the man who walks the thin edge of death, living a double identity. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. 25 years ago this year, the National Broadcasting Company was founded. It was during this same period that an era of jazz, mahjong, and the Lucky Lindy flourished. You'll step into the world of the Roaring Twenties every Wednesday evening if you'll tune for Pete Kelly's Blues on this station. Pete Kelly's Blues. It's about the big music and the big trouble and the big roar of the 20s. Pete Kelly's Blues, Wednesday. Philip Galt, known to the underworld as the Whisperer, has set in motion the syndicate's plan to kill Thomas Farrell, newspaper reporter who's been uncovering some of the syndicate's activities. Then, in his real identity as Philip Galt's counselor at law, he sent Ellen Norris to keep Farrell from going to the Club 17. But Farrell became suspicious and headed for the club where a killer waits for him. Phil and Ellen follow in Phil's car, hoping they will reach the gambling club in time to prevent his death.
I'll have to get this motor checked. I can't seem to get any speed out of it at all.
You're doing 70 now.
Phil has quite a head start on it. We could get there too late.
What happened downtown with Lieutenant Benders?
Euban, the owner of Club 17, had himself rousted this evening.
Had himself? You mean deliberately?
That's what I mean. Evidently, he knows about the setup for Tommy Farrell, and he wanted to make sure he wasn't around when it happened. A perfect alibi for him would have been if he was in jail.
Oh?
I pointed out to him how illogical that was. He was in jail of his own choosing, and it showed complicity with what was going to happen.
So you got him out?
He still wouldn't leave, Ellen. I had to do it through the syndicate.
Now what?
I wish I knew. We get to the Club 17 as fast as we can.
His fellow Mason will be there waiting to kill Farrell.
Yes.
And you don't know Mason?
Only his voice.
Oh, the way this syndicate works. One finger doesn't know what the other finger is doing, let alone a hand.
It's tough.
And it's tougher on you and on me. Well, you'll get caught, Phil. You can take chances only so many times, and then the law of averages runs out.
Ellen.
All right. I'm not going into that again. We're going up to the Club 17 to stop a murder. We don't know who the murderer is or how he'll try to do his murdering. Should be simple.
A couple of things I don't understand about this.
If somebody wants to kill somebody else, the chances are 10,000 in 10,001 is going to do it. You can't stop them.
We can try. I'll be quiet a moment and listen.
Okay.
Ellen, why'd Lieutenant Denver want me to get Euban out of jail?
Maybe he likes to keep his jail clean.
And what takes Farrell up to Club 17 this evening?
Could be he's after stories. He is a reporter, you know.
Sure. But what story?
I don't know.
Maybe it's connected with Lieutenant Denver. Maybe. I got it.
Well?
Have you any objections to getting caught in a raid?
Depends on what kind of raid.
On a gambling club. Cops swarming all over the place. Pistols out. A lot of excitement. Maybe a gun goes off.
And Tommy Farrell gets the bullet. You think Denver knows the syndicate is mixed up in this?
I'm sure of it. That's why he's getting involved in it, even though it isn't homicide business.
And about Tommy Farrell being there. He must have been tipped off of the raid.
Uh-huh. By some member of the syndicate. To get him there and have him killed in the commotion. The poor guy doesn't have any idea what he's walking into.
Whisper has his function. Euban has another function. The police are passive, playing the part.
And Mason, the killer, only knows one thing. That Tommy Farrell is to be killed. Neat. Tied up in bows. Mason takes his shot, gets out of the excitement, leaves town, and who could ever pin Farrell's murder on any part of the syndicate?
Oh, why do we mess with it? Why do we...
To save a nice guy's life, Ellen. Is that a good enough reason?
Yes. That's a good enough reason.
Uh,
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't see Farrell anywhere, sir.
Place your bets, ladies
and gentlemen. This is definitely booming for the
theater. Uh-huh. Here he comes.
Hello, Counselor.
Hello, Euban. Ellen, this is Mr. Euban, Miss Norris.
The way the Counselor talks, I thought he was all business. It's a pleasure.
Your place here is very kind.
Just a little thing.
Will you excuse me? I think I see a friend of mine.
Of course.
Give him my regards, Ellen.
I will.
Maybe that was good advice that you were trying to give me.
Glad to see you took it.
Maybe I can give you some in return. That's a reporter your girl's going to see.
Farrell?
Uh-huh. Take her away from him, Gulch.
I think he's trying to take her away from me.
I ain't kidding. You're a smart shyster. If you like the girl, keep her away.
Any special reason?
I hear things.
About Farrell?
Yes, about Farrell. The kind of things he's writing in his paper. Certain people don't like him, and it ain't healthy to be near him.
Certain people? The syndicate?
I didn't say nothing about no syndicate.
That's what he's writing about.
Yes. Well, I ain't well read. All the reading I do is the names of horses and what the round robin figures out.
Thanks for the tip about Sal. I'll see what I can do about it.
Well, sister, I'm not as young as I'd like to be anymore. I can spot a plant at... Oh. You again.
Relax.
I'm relaxed. Hey, what's your line?
Maybe I've got a tip for you, Sal.
I don't know where you fit in, and I just as soon never find out. Take your charming skipples along with you.
Investigating the syndicate, aren't you?
So?
Euban's part of it.
Is he?
This is his place. Euban knows there's going to be a raid here tonight.
How do you know?
All I had to know was that he had himself rousted. He didn't want to be here when the raid was on.
Smart guy, Euban.
Not so smart. He isn't worried about the raid. He's worried about what's going to happen during the raid.
Yeah, and just what's going to happen during the raid.
Who tipped you about it, Sal?
What are you getting at?
The setup.
What setup?
Use your head, Sal. This is all for you. Everything. The raid, you've been not wanting to be here. You're being tipped so you will be here.
You trying to tell me...
But you're their target for tonight, Sal. That's why I tried to keep you from coming here.
How do you know so much about it?
I'm a lawyer. I ran across it.
Hey,
here it comes. Oh. Careful.
All right, everybody. This is the prince. Let's take it nice and easy and keep it orderly. Hey!
What happened to the light, Phil?
Duck, duck, get down, Phil. You all right, Ellen?
Yes. Tommy?
Okay.
Both of you, stay where you are and stay on the floor.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Euban's office. The man who shot that gun ducked in there.
Hey, son.
The Whisperer. What are you doing here? Yeah, I know. I won't the second time.
See that you don't. Stay here. I'll send him in.
Okay.
Get the lights on in a minute, folks. Everybody just stay where you are. There won't be any more shooting.
Take it easy. Oh!
Ellen?
Yes?
I thought I told
you. I wanted to find out what's going on.
Mason, the guy who shot at Farrell, is in the office. I'm going to get Lieutenant Denver to smoke him out with tear gas.
Oh.
Yes, Euban?
Doc,
over here.
Out of my way, Counselor. I got these to protect in my office.
There's somebody in there. Don't go in.
Out of my way, I said.
Wait, I told Euban not to go in there.
But the other shot. It sounded like a different gun, Phil.
Okay, Harrison. Get these lights on. I said everybody stay wet. Oh, one better.
Thank goodness. The lights are on.
Whoever took that stack of chips in front of the blackjack dealer better put them back now.
Go, what were those shots? Come and see for yourself, Lieutenant. Huh? Oh, Euban. He's still alive.
Harrison, get an ambulance.
Take a look over there, Lieutenant.
Huh? Who's he?
I don't know. I never saw him before in my life. But he's the guy who started the shooting, and I wanted him to stay in there so you could pick him up. Then Euban came barging in. And...
Yeah.
Where did Harrison put in that call?
Hey, Gulch. Like I owe you and the lady an apology.
Oh, Farrell.
Yeah. Sorry about my suspicion. Looks like I was wrong about you.
Forget it.
Anytime I can be of any help...
I may take you up on that.
Maybe both of us will take you up on it, Tommy. Oh,
every time we get through one of these, it's as though I've just had a terrible weight lifted off my shoulders.
That's nice and neat when they kill each other off.
Both of them dead?
Uh-huh. Euban died before they could get him into the ambulance. Two less in the syndicate.
What are we stopping at your place for?
Just to have the Whisperer make a report. And then?
Then?
There are several questions I want to ask you.
Oh, personal.
Extremely. For instance, just how well did you get to know Tommy Farrell?
Why, Phil, you're...
Jealous, uh-huh. I noticed one startling thing. When that shot rang out in the dark...
What?
You called him Tommy. Not Mr. Fell, not even just Fell, but Tommy.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, I'll confess. He finally broke down and made something very clear to me. And I couldn't help but be overwhelmed by it.
What?
He told me what skittles are.
Oh. Well, what are they?
Ninepins, darling. Beer and skittles means beer and a game of ninepins. But nowadays we've just shortened the meaning to enjoyment. Have some beer and skittles with us?
It'll be my pleasure. Just as soon as I call the syndicate.
Based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as the Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Paul Frees, Julius Kralbein, Jack Moyles, Frank Gerstel, and Jan Arvan. Script was by Jonathan Twite. Original music by Johnny Duffy. And the entire production was directed by Bill Karn. Next week, listen to another exciting adventure with... It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. There's more top adventure for you later today on NBC when Mr. Moto takes you on another adventure. Join Mr. Moto in this adventure through the ancient, shadow-filled corridors of the catacombs of Rome. And remember, genial Phil Baker asks you to try for the $64 question later tonight. It's Mr. Moto and the $64 question, both tonight on this NBC.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.